Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it
also,
is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Oh, baby, we're outside. We are outside at Norwood Hills Country Club for the Billikens Golf Classic today. And it's Chris and Amy.
Let me just give you two observations.
Yeah.
One, Norwood Hills Country Club is beautiful. And it I is. Say this every year while we're here. And two, I'm huddled under a blanket because it's a little nipply outside.
It is very cold. It isn't very cold. It's like 53 degrees. Anyway, this is where we are today. We love you. We are glad you're with us. And my God, we got a lot to get to this morning. 314-436-7900. That is how you reach the show via text or by calling. You can also, on the Odyssey app, where you listen to the show live and the station live and Cardinals baseball and all that stuff, you can send us a message, record a message, and send it. Hey, bad news, though. We are not streaming live today on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or Skype.
Skype went out of business.
Today is the last day.
Yep.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Yeah, that's right, baby. The Billikens Golf Classic is happening today. We have a bunch of guests coming up. We'll have the athletic director, Chris May, at 9:45. We're going to have Josh Schertz and Robbie Avila at 11:15. There's a lot coming up today. Just stick around for all of it.
And the second worst piece of news coming out of last night, St. Louis has its first measles case.
Good for us.
We did it. Hey, it was from an out-of-towner, which I think is important to note.
So it's not our fault?
It's not our fault.
Well, Cardinals win both games of a doubleheader yesterday, and the Blues absolutely blow it.
Count to three. Ehlers, cross eyes, score! Perfetti!
No.
With under 2 seconds remaining, ties it!
No. Just why did we have to? Who did that? Who
the highlights,
played that?
TNT. Who did that?
Was
Frank?
That Frank or
it
Matt?
Was Frank.
Frank.
Frank did that back in the studio.
Ah.
Yeah. Listen. So that's where we start the show today, Amy.
Can I say it? It feels like a bad dream. I am surprisingly depressed.
Yeah.
And disheartened, and I feel like this affected me personally. Like I feel because it did. The next few weeks of my life, of the life of all of St. Louis, it was going to be great. We were 1 second away from advancing to the second round. We were 1 second away from taking on the Dallas Stars in a rematch.
Yeah. I'm going to say it right now. I don't have the historical knowledge that some people do when it comes to the St. Louis Blues.
Like me?
I mean, I remember, yeah, like you.
Yeah.
This has to be the worst loss in the history of the team. It has to be. It's one of the worst losses in the history of the playoffs. So I would say by default, it has to be the worst that the Blues have ever experienced. That was absolutely brutal, and it never should have happened that
way. So it's particularly crushing, yes, for multiple reasons. I will say there is an overall disappointment back in 2001 when the Blues won the President's Trophy and they were eliminated in the first round, but that was kind of a slow burn.
Right.
This loss specifically hurt so bad because they had multiple opportunities to clear the puck. They had multiple opportunities to make a better play. Like it wasn't that the Winnipeg Jets were just, wow, you know, you got to hand it to them. They were just outstanding. We made some mistakes. The Blues made some mistakes. And with one
second
left.
They opened the door. They left the door open is what they did.
And I think also it was the fact that they have struggled 6-on-5 this season.
Worst team in the league.
Struggled
6-on-5.
So you know it's their weakness. Why do they have this weakness when it is... When you're the team that pulls your goalie, 6-on-5 doesn't feel like that much of an advantage. For some reason, it always feels like, well, it's a long shot.
Too many people on the ice.
It's too crowded. It's a Hail Mary. When the Blues have 5 and the opponent pulls their goalie, that's when it feels like you're pretty much guaranteed to lose. And so I said this, Ronda, I texted this to you and Matt last night. The thing that bothered me, it just bothered me during their 12-game winning streak, is that a 12-game win streak is a fluke. It's a fluke because you can be the best team in the league and not have a 12-game winning streak. There, things have to go your way. You got to get puck luck. It happens. It's fun. But that's more of a fluke. You got to look at trends within the 12-game winning streak. Jordan Binnington, outstanding. But a really scary trend was their inability to hold leads, to let teams back into the game.
Yeah.
And that's what we talked about that during their 12-game winning streak. So to see them let the Winnipeg Jets back into the game, to see them struggle 6-on-5, oh, just the 1 second. You were one clear away from advancing to the second round.
I think in the end, I don't know what was going on last night with the timing, but they kept saying it was 1.6 seconds in which the Jets scored. I think officially it's 2.2, but still, it is the latest in a Game 7 that a team has ever given up the lead like that. That is, that has never happened before that late. And it's not just one person's fault. There were a couple of plays last night that had Blues made better decisions, like Pavel Buchnevich. And I don't want to beat up on the guy, but the dude has an opportunity to, he's got the puck in his zone, in their zone, and he's got open ice in front of him. And instead of trying to take a couple of strides and clear the puck out, waste some time, he takes a shot on an empty net from like midway point of his own zone, and it turned into an icing call. It's just, and you saw Jim Montgomery on the bench, furious at that.
Yeah.
He was like, what are you doing? That's bad decision making. If he doesn't do that, if he takes a couple of strides, they win
over.
That game. It's just, yes, Winnipeg did what they had to do, but the Blues opened the door for them. And I'm sorry. Look, it was a great finish to the season. They were fortunate to make it into the playoffs.
They were terrible. Not that great for a lot of the season.
But I have a difficult time, and maybe I will soften on it in a couple of weeks, thinking back on it and how much fun the end of the season was. But when you have the opportunity, I'm sorry, I have a very difficult time just saying, great job, boys. Well, we're really, really happy with the end. I'm not. I'm pissed.
Well,
I'm pissed about what that was. And you know what else I'm pissed about? The fact that they brought me back in.
That's why.
Remember,
you're hurt. That's why.
Yes, remember.
Hurt people.
I have been telling Amy for the last couple of years, you know what? They won a Stanley Cup. So I'm good for a while. Right? Like, I'm good. I don't care what happens because that was so satisfying to me. But this end to the season and then into the playoffs and then them coming back and tying the series at 2 and then getting to a game 7, they brought me back in.
Well, and then
they did this yesterday.
And I got derailed when I was saying why this one was so particularly devastating, and not only because it was the last couple of seconds and areas that we had already identified. They know where their weakness is. But prior to 2019, you always expected the Blues to disappoint you. You expected to lose.
Yeah.
You didn't know how good it felt to win the Stanley Cup. And now that we know, now that we've had our raviolis from the cup, I feel like the pain is that much worse because you know how good it is. You know how good it can be. And so this is frustrating. Yes, you can give the Jets a ton of credit for playing without their leader, Mark Scheifele. They had 5D. I was like, just keep ozone pressure because their D, they're going to wear out. Josh Morrissey was out of the game by, what, the second period?
Yeah.
He didn't come back or something. At any rate, they had they were rolling 5D. And you want to go into double overtime, you have to exploit that fatigue. You could also argue that Dylan Holloway was huge to the Blues' success, and obviously he couldn't play in the postseason at all. So, yeah, you overcome adversity. The Jets did that. Congrats to them. But, man, I don't like the Winnipeg Jets, and here's what I hope happens. I hope the Dallas Stars sweep the Jets, and then I hope the Dallas Stars get swept. Because I hate both of them.
Let me tell you how I feel about it. You know how there's this...
Nope, don't even say it.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring this up. Because there are people who will rest on if their team loses to whatever... So, like, in this case, the Jets beat them. If the Jets were to go on and, you know, make it to the conference final or make it to the Stanley Cup final or whatever, you have those people who say, well, at least we lost to the team that made it to the Stanley Cup. That does nothing for me.
No.
That has never done anything for me. So I would like the Jets to lose and lose badly if at all possible.
No, I can't stand the Jets.
I'm into spite.
This is pure spite.
I love spite.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I've always hated the Dallas Stars. So you think, well, how can you want them to sweep the Jets? Well, because the Jets is fresh. So I want them to sweep the Jets, and then I want the Stars to be swept. I would love for the Oilers to make a run. I would love for Toronto to make a run.
Yeah.
I could, you know what, I'll cheer for them. Not the Stars. Not the Jets. It's too fresh. Here's the thing. And people will say, didn't you say you liked the Jets? I did. But here's when I liked the Jets. The Paul Maurice, Jamie Compan Jets. Jamie Compan was like the video coach. Nobody knows who he is, but I liked him.
Yeah, you're getting way in the weeds on
but
this.
Paul Maurice was the coach of the Jets. The Scott Arneil Jets are whiny and gross. And they offend me. I don't like Scott Arneil. I think he's whiny.
I'm more offended by us and what we did. I'm just offended by the way they played at the end.
I'm offended by
I'm offended with that last two. But now let me say another thing about the last 2 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me it did not feel like that was about to happen.
Oh, of course it was.
Tell me it did not feel like they were about to tie that game.
100%.
It felt that way for about the last 2 or 3 minutes to me.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
No, you knew it was going to happen. I think it's... And here's
I'm
the
not,
thing.
You know what? Screw all that. I'm not giving the Jets any credit. They deserve no credit.
They
this was
nothing.
All the Blues coughing it up.
It 100% was.
Yeah.
Because the Blues, remember, the Blues went to Winnipeg. They went to the Jets' home ice, and they took it to them for 59 minutes and 58 and a half seconds. And,
dude.
And I'll just say this. So, depressed, disheartened last night. And then I pull up Twitter to see the reactions, like, Blues lose, Blues blow it, Blues lose, and then Maria Kina. First measles case in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you think it can't get any worse.
Well.
Measles and the Blues lost.
Yeah. I don't have the measles yet, so I feel okay.
I don't even know.
Also.
I don't even know what, like, why are we even here today? Why are we even doing this show?
Well, this is because of the Billikens Golf Classic. That's why we are here. But also. Let me say this. It is not all bad. Amy owes me $4 now.
Yeah, because I bet in favor of our team.
Right.
I said the St. Louis Blues, I believe in them.
And I didn't not believe in them. I think I bet against them.
But no,
you owe me $4. So you should know that. It is Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji. How are you dealing with the devastation of the Blues loss? Let us know at 314-436-7900. We are at Norwood Hills Country Club. That's how we're dealing with it today for the Billikens Golf Classic on 104.1 FM KMOX.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark Scores with you live from Norwood Hills Country Club for the Billikens Golf Classic. People are kind of rolling in. We're a little bit earlier this year. This is our annual event.
Usually we start at 10.
Yeah.
So what are we used to?
So the president was busy over the weekend, Ronj, and we do have a potpourri of topics that we can address. But let's start with this interesting take on the economy from the president. Well, that was interesting.
That's all about.
Well, you sent me the original link, Ronj, because I didn't see it live, but Donald Trump was on Face the Nation.
With Kristen Welker on NBC. They covered a number of topics, obviously.
And she asked him about the economy and when we can really assume that we're in the Trump economy. And here we go. Here it is here.
When does it become the Trump economy?
It partially is right now. And I really mean this. I think the good parts are the Trump economy and the bad parts are the Biden economy because he's done a terrible job. He did a terrible job on everything.
And that's actually how I approached this show. Mm-hmm. I think the good parts of the show are the Amy parts of the show.
And
the bad
parts
of the show are the Chris parts of the show.
That's really, it's just the absolute best.
I mean.
It is the best. And my question is, for anybody who heard that, and we have a lot of listeners who voted for him and like him, and some probably absolutely adore him.
And some voted for him and aren't big fans.
Right. Some did that, and, you know, they just held their nose and did it. I'm really curious to know, if you hear that, what you think. Like, do you hear that and go, yeah, that sounds right? I'm sure that all the bad parts really are Biden's and all the good parts are his. And if you do think that, I would love to know why you think that. It's clearly an effort to sell. And, you know, all presidents do that. All politicians do. They try to sell you their ideas or sell you the reasons why they are right or they are good for the job or good for the country or whatever. I fully understand that. But that one is, it's really out there.
Yeah.
That's a real reach for a president to make a declaration like that.
And would you say that everyday items becoming more expensive is a bad part of the economy? Yeah, I would say that's a tough part of the economy. Then that is solely on the shoulders of Donald Trump. Economists and business people across the country have been warning for weeks that the tariffs that Donald Trump is levying on countries that we trade with, our trade partners, our allies, are going to raise prices for ordinary Americans, especially the tariff on goods from China. The White House has said, no, it won't raise prices. But then Then, so here's the White House saying, no, 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 the tariffs on China, the tariffs on our trade partners will not raise prices for Americans. Well, a couple of days ago, Trump said that, okay, quote, maybe the children will have $2 instead of $30, and maybe the $2 will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. But, he said, quote, we have to make a fair deal. He also said, okay, your precious little girl doesn't need 37 Barbie dolls. She can do with two or three or four, and she doesn't need 250 pencils. I don't know where the pencils came from. But he's now...
But you can need five. Five pencils, yeah, is, that's
the
cutoff.
He's now telling you that your children are not going to get the toys they want or what they want for Christmas. Meanwhile, I do feel like when Barron Trump was younger, he probably got a lot of nice toys.
It's just my problem with this, and I am sure that I have said this to you before, and I apologize for the broken record. But my main issue with this is, for somebody like him, who is personally well off, I don't know if he's a billionaire or not. We know he's at least a multimillionaire, but the point is he's okay. Personally, he's okay. And people in his family are okay. And his friends financially are going to be okay. It's rich for somebody like that to say, hey, you know what, you can do without this for a while, or hey, this is going to cost a little bit more, or there's going to be some pain. Yeah, not for him. There's not going to be pain for him. There's not going to be pain for his family. There's not going to be pain for people he is friends with or does business with. Pain for everybody else. So for you to say, you guys can deal with the pain for a short period of time or an extended period of time, you can deal with it. So go ahead, knowing full well that he's not going to have to deal with the bad stuff that comes along with a tougher economy or higher prices or whatever it is.
Or to cuts, you know, to that end.
The job cuts.
Ronj,
his job's not going to get cut.
I was making some phone calls. I'm going on a hiking trip, wanted to visit the national forests and visit, you know, Yosemite National Park. And I called a bike shop in Mammoth Lakes, California, which is on the eastern Sierra Nevadas. And I was asking him about, oh, yeah, is this a good park to go to? What about, you know, this national forest? And he was so friendly, so passionate about his job, and said, but honestly, he's like, I don't know how early the parks will be ready. The roads, you know, we didn't get a lot of snow, but we've had these personnel cuts. We've lost workers. We've lost employees. We've lost people who clean up the parks, who plow the roads, who take care of things. So he goes, I just want to warn you, we're not quite sure what to expect. And I thought, what in the world is going on here where you are cutting jobs like the people who clear the roads at national parks and pick up trash at national parks? So these people who have dedicated their lives to preserving these beautiful treasures of the United States of America are finding their workloads doubled, and maybe fewer Americans will get to visit the parks.
And it's not just people who are losing their jobs. It's also small business owners who are in danger of losing their entire business based on all of these things that are happening. And so there was this one example I just read about yesterday of a guy who owns a plastics business, and they make some sort of plastics, and not exactly sure what the job is, or what specifically they make, but it has to do with plastics. And the guy was talking about how they do everything here in this country. They make everything here. All of the plastics that they make to the end user are done here. However, the parts for the machines that they use to make the plastics are only made in China.
Yeah.
And they constantly wear down and break down. Just the nature of making all of these things. So he doesn't know how he's going to get the parts, because he has a bunch of idle machines that aren't working, and he can't get them fixed, which means he can't make his product. And it's a very niche problem for mm-hmm. that one person, but this is not niche when it's that business. And there's another business who has to deal with something similar. And then here's another one over here that has to deal with something similar. Before you know it, we're talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses that are dealing with the same kind of thing and are very much in danger of losing their businesses.
A great essay, if anyone wants to read a short essay, iPencil by Leonard Reed. iPencil. It's all, speaking of pencils, since pencils are in the conversation, I highly recommend it. Really good about how the global economy works.
It is the Billikens Golf Classic, so we are live at Norwood Hills Country Club. We will be talking with Chris May, who is the athletic director at SLU. He joins us at 9:45. We've got a bunch of guests coming up throughout the day. Matt Pauly will be with us at 10:30. We'll talk about what happened in Winnipeg last night with him and the Cardinals over the weekend at Busch Stadium. At least they had a good weekend. We'll do that. Josh Schertz, the coach of SLU men's basketball, joins the show at 11:15, along with Robbie Avila, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He will be joining the show. It's all coming up today. Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. Mark Scores, Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. We are broadcasting from Norwood Hills Country Club for the Billikens Golf Classic. We are here today until 12 o'clock. The Gas House Gang happens at 12, and you are definitely going to want to listen in. Tom Ackerman and Chip Carey will have that for you today. And I'm sure they're going to get into the Cardinals' good weekend. They will get into what happened with the Blues last night in Winnipeg, even though we'd all like to forget it.
I know.
So that's happening at 12.
You do get to feel sorry for yourself for a day.
I'm going to feel sorry for myself until about 6 p.m. I think that's the time.
Yeah. I'm giving myself
till 6.
Because, I mean, I think of, like, Jimmy Snuggerud and the young guys that we have on this roster and how they just absolutely stepped up, got incredible Stanley Cup playoff experience, and with a team that we didn't really know what they would be for most of the season. We didn't have any playoff hopes. So don't get me wrong. I'm going to be positive soon, but we get to be disappointed and wallow in self-pity and regret until at least 6 p.m.
Yeah, I'm going to wallow I'm really going to wallow in it. Because that's what I feel like doing.
Yeah.
And you're welcome to do that, too. We'd like to know how you are dealing with that devastating, probably worst ever loss in the history of the franchise. Let us know at 314-436-7900. So at Norwood Hills, we are about 8 minutes away, 6 miles away from Lambert International Airport, Amy.
Oh, and that's interesting that you bring that up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because J.D. Power, in their annual customer satisfaction survey, they did a report on the largest 27 North American airports in the country in their large category for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know where our airport finished among the 27?
Not great.
We're the 25th best airport?
Yeah.
Or wait, third worst airport? We'd be the third worst airport in the country.
Yeah, big airport.
So that is
that's the headline in the Post-Dispatch was, is St. Louis's airport the worst?
No. Let me answer that question. No.
No.
It's third worst.
Third worst.
So, when I see stories like this, my feeling is, I want to make fun of us. It's a little gallows humor, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's okay to make fun of your own thing. It is our airport. So I feel like it's okay, but also, damn, come on, man.
So
it's just a little depressing to hear stuff like that.
I feel like so much of St. Louis is a vestige of something that used to be great. Something great used to be here. We used to do something great in this old, dilapidated, condemned building. We used to do something great along the riverfront. And I do feel that way, and I know people are, I don't want you to think I'm poo-pooing the city. I love the city, and talking to professional athletes and other people who say, hey, we played here, we love it here, we're going to live here. It's a great city for families. There's just the potential could be so much more. And when I go to Lambert, I feel like this was probably a nice airport a long time ago, probably, but not now, because it feels a little dead. It feels a little counterintuitive the way it's laid out. We don't have any direct flights anymore. And again, this is me being a back in my day. We had TWA. I didn't have a layover until I was 23. I think every flight I took was a direct flight until I was 23 or 25 years old. Granted, I didn't fly a lot, but still, we flew directly from St. Louis to Heathrow.
Yep. My view of the airport is a little different because most of the flights I take over the last 15 years.
Or to Chicago.
Well, there or Detroit or places where you use Southwest.
Yeah.
And so I've flown out of the East Terminal, which I guess isn't even called East Terminal anymore, isn't it? Like something.
Terminal 2.
Terminal 2. That's the one I've been using. Mm-hmm. So I only know that, right? And that that particular one feels like a very small town airport, and that's nothing against Lambert. It's just that part of the airport doesn't feel like the main airport, because it's not. So I don't even know what it's like in the main airport. I haven't been there in a long time.
Terminal 2 was one of the main complaints. St. Louis Post-Dispatch solicited responses from readers. What bothers you most about the airport? And one of them is the baggage claim in Terminal 2.
Oh, it sucks.
That is just, they said it's wall-to-wall people.
It's not good.
Yeah. And others were like, fix the leaky roof and broken tiles. I would say that's a huge one. It doesn't look great. Leaky roofs and broken tiles. The bathrooms need to be updated. More restaurants and retail shops. I don't feel like I fly at unusual times. I feel like I fly at the times that are available. And somehow, most of the shops and restaurants are closed.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're closed. It's like 6 p.m. Why is it closed? And more parking and more frequent shuttles was a complaint. The signage, people thought the signage was confusing. I don't feel like the signage is that confusing for Lambert. Maybe it's just because I'm used to it. I find big airports like Denver, when I'm returning a car at Denver, that stresses me out a bit.
Because they're sprawling.
Because they're so big.
But again, Terminal 2, the one I fly out of, it's just like one hallway. So I feel like it's very easy to get around there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is funny when you see stories like that, because you want us to do well. You want people to think highly of us.
Yeah.
You
arrive to St. Louis Lambert. You're not Lambert Airport. You're not exactly impressed.
No. That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we're going to talk to the athletic director at St. Louis University. Chris May joins the show. It's Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy show. We are now joined by one of our favorites. It is the athletic director at St. Louis University. Chris May is with us. And Chris has said he would like to get a few things off his chest about the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, you know, we are bringing energy here today.
Oh,
no more of this negativity. Chris, the sun came up. We're at the 46th annual Billiken Golf Classic. The sun's up there somewhere.
It is.
It's okay. We're rebounding. We are bringing positivity around here today. We are turning it. Amy, I expect more out of you.
I know. Oh, my gosh. That hurts
so
bad.
Come on.
See, Chris May, he was so kind to listen to the show.
Notice
but then
how
he got here and was not happy with us.
Oh, no. I appreciate it. I was watching like everybody else was. Josh Schertz and I were texting through the whole deal. But you know what? Move forward.
Yeah.
Move forward.
Yeah.
Notice how he did not say he expects more out of me. He knows exactly.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting.
The bar is set with you. The bar is set with you. I get it. I get
there's
it.
No
I know where
me,
we're
man.
At. I know where we're at. But that's okay.
He
that's
did
okay.
Ask, did you run today, Amy? And I said no. He's like, I can tell.
Yeah. We'll get you back out there.
Yep. It's you're right. I think the clouds are getting brighter. You're starting to see that breakup in the
it's
clouds
gonna
where the sun's going to pop through. And it is, I will say, and I say this every year while we're out here, Norwood Hills is so beautiful.
Incredible.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. They do a great job here. And, you know, as I was doing some of my, writing my notes, so it's the 46th annual.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's been going on for 46 years. And there are people here that, and now it's their children are here.
Yeah.
And continuing to support St. Louis U and the Billikens and everything. We've got three main sponsors here today, our presenting sponsors. One, Digital. Mike Shanahan Jr., who his dad, longtime Billiken, longtime, you know, St. Louis leader, now Mike Jr.'s leading. Stiefel and Charlie Galley Jr., his dad, Charlie Galley, longtime Billiken all the way through this. Simon Law, who's been around this deal forever. And so I look at him like, this is one of those deals that's the annual celebration of our university, of our program, and we get to do it with you guys, bringing the positive energy like you do.
Yeah, we promise.
That's what we're doing.
So wait
That's
a
what
minute.
We're doing. So it's all good.
Chris, you're telling me that the fine folk leaders at SLU thought, we need to bring positive energy to our golf tournament. I know, Chris Ranji.
Yeah, well, sometimes you just got to elevate everybody. Everybody.
That's right.
But you know
a
what?
A rising tide.
He can go with it. He can go with it. And you know what? It'll happen. It'll happen.
So we're, well, I know that.
almost have him stunned.
No,
we've got him stunned. Who knew he could be tongue-tied?
I don't even. I think I don't even feel good right now.
We're here.
I think he doesn't know how to recognize what hurt feelings feels like.
It's okay.
Wait, what is it? What is this?
We're all hurting, but we're moving forward. It's okay.
You know who's not hurting? The athletic department. Well, I think the athletic department at St. Louis University is doing quite well.
We're having a lot of success because our community's been around us and behind us for so long, including KMOX and our flagship. But when you get to come here and celebrate the Billikens, our student athletes, we've got student athletes to be out here all day. Robbie Avila plays golf. He's going to hit some balls out here. There's just a lot of energy around our university, our program. I chuckled. I was getting my mulligan in, and they were looking up the password. For the password in their system is 1818, and it's like University Open, 1818. And so SLU's been doing great things in this community for many, many years, and we're just blessed to be here and celebrate it with everybody. And athletically, you know, our softball teams, the 2C going in the tournament this week, our baseball team scored 40-some runs this weekend. Coach Hendrickson and his team had a great weekend. Our track kids. So we had a woman track runner, 10K runner. Emery Mayfield ran 36.08 in her first 10.
Wow, that's awesome.
As a young 19-year-old in college.
That's awesome, yeah.
And so you get to see these young people who are working their tails off. Tomorrow we have our straight-A celebration. So student-athletes have had straight-A's, okay? We have 400 student-athletes. 156 will be there with their professors.
Wow.
So you got kids coming and getting a great education and competing their tails off. I mean, the softball team had a 3.9 GPA, and they're going to compete to go to their first NCAA tournament ever this week. So it's fun to be around young people at that great time of their lives where they're working their tails off in the classroom, in their competitive space, and they're having a good time. I mean, let's face it, they're still 18 to 22-year-olds going through college.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fun to be had in that, but we're blessed. We got a lot of great people that we get to work with, and we get to celebrate days like today.
You know, we talk about some universities. Yeah, they're known for sports. Others, universities, they're great academics. But for SLU to combine the two, where it's a high academic standard, it's a high athletic standard, and even, you know, coaching student athletes, that's a lot because you're focusing so much on the sport, yes, but you also realize, okay, some of these athletes have tests tomorrow.
they get stressed over missing the school. And then in today's world of the NCAA with the transfer portal and the house settlement coming, could happen this week, it really flipped upside down the model. And so there's a lot of pressures and there's a lot of moving parts, but at the end of the day, St. Louis University is not going to move from our foundation and our values of serving this community and our young people, and we're going to do it at a high level.
It has to be especially challenging with the portal now, because we were just talking about this recently, where you're having more athletes, it seems like, who are on social media, who are posting about staying at the university. Like it's a big deal that they're going to stay and they're not going to transfer somewhere else. It didn't used to be that way, and I can't blame a kid for wanting to go to what he thinks is a better situation, right, or what she thinks is better.
Yep.
But as far as the athletics goes, it's got to be pretty challenging when you don't really know how many of your players are going to be able to stick around.
Chris, you're right, but we're the glasses half full today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So tell us about that part.
What's happened for us? Truthfully, the portal's been really good to us, especially in men's basketball. The portal has been really good to us. And so it does pose more challenges and more moving parts than it did in the past. So you have to layer on a different level of management, a different level of oversight. But at the same time, you layer on a different level of opportunity. And that's what we've been very, very fortunate in. Kevin Kalish is working, our soccer coach is working the portal this morning, traded texts with him. And so with that comes opportunity as well as challenges. And it's not the same way as it was. But guess what? Those days are over. But at the end of the day, it's still 18 to 22-year-olds playing sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so you put those pieces around them. You give them the ability to train, prepare, and then you put good coaches, talented coaches in position to help them win. It's a pretty special thing.
Well, to that end, talking to these student athletes who choose SLU and play here, go to school here, what are some of the the aspects of SLU that they say, oh, I love this. This, I want to be here.
Yeah, it's different for all of them, right? Mm-hmm. I will tell you, to a person, they walk onto our campus and walk on and they go, we had no idea. Every one of them. They walk around campus, they look at the place, and we have no idea in the middle of St. Louis could a place be like this. So they're instantly connected to the surroundings. But at the end of the day, it's about people.
Yeah.
It's about people, connection, what type of education. We can guarantee people coming in here that they get a degree from SLU, that they're going to, we can help them get a great job, and they'll be successful. This region knows that young people coming through our program graduate, compete at high levels, that they're highly hireable, and they'll do well. And so that's why these straight A celebrations, we have graduation in 2 weeks. Graduation's the greatest day of the year. It's by far. You see all these families. We've got 90-some kids graduating. They come together to celebrate this journey. And a few of them will go play pro. They'll go play professional sport. But then when they're done playing pro, they're going to go to work, and they're going to serve this community and serve their families and everyone well. And so it's a little bit different for everyone, but at the end of the day, our values don't change no matter what. It's about serving young people, showing them what it takes to work their tails off and be great citizens and bring value to this community. That's at the end of the day what SLU does and what our athletic program strives to do, while at the same time winning some championships and having a lot of fun.
Big picture, what, as you see it, what is next for the athletics department?
Yeah, getting through this next phase of intercollegiate athletics, I mean, that's the big phase right now, is the next 36, 48 months, how we continue to maneuver through, how settlement's probably going to be done in the next week. We're very aggressive in the NIL space and the basketball side. The Billiken Victory Fund we're raising money for here today to go into that. That's flipped everything upside down. And so you put coaches in position to try and maximize that in the basketball side. And then that'll continue to grow out. And so today's focus is how do we serve this group and adjust as much as we can to the portal, to the house settlement, to NIL, to all those pieces. But we're very, very aggressive in that space right now. We've had a lot of success. And so that's how we need Josh Schertz and that basketball team to have the type of success that they can, that can support the rest of the program. And knock on wood, they did a fantastic job this spring. They're putting an unbelievably competitive schedule together for the fall and winter. And so there's a lot of excitement, a lot of opportunity going on right now with the basketball team, which then you'll hear from all the coaches. That helps set the tone for everyone.
Yeah.
Again, we've got two teams competing for championships in the next 3 weeks here, our softball and baseball teams. I would not bet against either of them. They got a great group of kids, both of them. I mean, 40-some runs over the weekend. I watched our baseball guys just hit the living daylights out of the ball. And our softball team is going in the 2 seed into the softball championship, which is exciting as well. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. It's never dull, but we're very blessed and fired up about the future, especially as we can help Josh Schert set the tone.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you sitting down with us and also for setting us straight down a positive path.
The arrow is up for you.
Yeah. We are going to keep this positive attitude right up until you walk away. So as soon as
Oh, no. We're staying.
Are you going to be watching to make sure?
Watching.
We're bringing everybody. We're bringing waves in. You are going to be on fire by the end of the day.
Oh, that's right. You're right. We appreciate it, Chris May.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. This is the athletic director at St. Louis University, Chris May, joining the show. Hour 2 is next on 104.1 FM.